You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon Newscast at newscast.webcomicbeacon.com.
It's Sunday, September 9th, 2012, and this is the Webcomic Beacon Newscast with, from evilspacecat.com, Marie Terry.
Hello, everyone.
From the Webcomic Beacon itself, Fess.
Yay.
And I'm Thomas Revor from 910 Comics. That's 910cmx.com. And it's time for the news. Our top story today, there's been a lot of problems with some of the webcomic providers, whether it be in my own 910 Comics, where we had almost a day out due to hardware problems, to the usual problems they have over at either King Spot or Drunk Duck. But we've got one that was a little more serious this time. That's Blind Ferret, the host of both Least I Can Do and Looking for Group, as well as hosting Girls with Slingshots and Something Positive.
And Goblins.
And Goblins were taken down by malware. That's right. Their servers were actually taken down. Some of them have been down for about a week. Some of the other servers that they have are still down, being moved. I was informed about this back when it happened. Apparently, we were told that there was I don't want to use the phrase a hit, but that there were hackers from overseas, from undisclosed countries, China, that were going through and taking out webcomics in alphabetical order. I'm glad to see that this wasn't totally the case, but as we said, Blind Ferret was one of the ones that was severely hit, and a lot of popular comics went down because of it. Next up, let's go ahead and jump over to the Buzz. Marie, what do we have over there?
Well, we got three stories in the Buzz today. Yes. And our first story comes to us from Robot 6 at comicbookresources.com. And it is a story about a bully, an online bully in particular. It seems that Mark Miller and others have recently teamed up to take down a bully who uses Twitter handles like Mr. E 2009 and John V to post some very harassing, nasty, vulgar, not safe for work type tweets, and generally has been harassing the ladies and of webcomics, from Kelly Sue DeCornick and Jill Pantozzi.
I'm going to go with what you're saying on that one, as well as professional writers, such as Gail Simone.
Indeed. And also at, there's Sue at DC Women Kicking Ass, says that she's been basically dealing with this guy for years now. And it seems that, that kick-ass writer Mark Milner has decided that enough is enough, and, has sort of organized, to get this fellow dealt with, legally, to answer for the harassment that he has been targeting to these women. So if you're interested in reading about the specifics of this, go check out the link in the show notes. Our second story, it talks about how Diamond, who was apparently a little unstable, if you know anything about the Diamond distributors, it was a little unstable last year, or sort of earlier in the year, but it seems that The Walking Dead, ironically, have turned around and brought new life back to Diamond Book Distributors. In fact, it seems that due to the Archaea? Is that how you say that name? Archaea has basically had not been paying their creators very well because of distributing problems with publishers group West, has now removed back to Diamond and has suddenly begun paying their artists again, because now that they've got a stable publisher. So in sort of an ironic twist, zombies have breathed life back into a book distributor. If you want to read more about that, check out the link at the site bleedingcool.com on the show notes. Our last story in the Buzz apparently is about Ustream and was found via articles.cnn.com. And the Hugos, which if you don't know what the Hugos are, why are you listening to this podcast? No, I'm just kidding. the Hugos are a science fiction award show, and they were streaming the award show while Neil Gaiman was accepting his award for an episode of Doctor Who, and they were showing some of the clips of this, but apparently they had either failed to notify Ustream, or Ustream just lost control of its copyright bots that monitor the streams for copyright infringement, and it shut down the broadcast of the Hugo Awards until it was actually done. This is quite a bit of egg on Ustream's face, I would imagine, since they had complete rights to do so, and it was an award show and all that jazz. They've apologized about it, but I don't think that really, makes up for everybody missing it. Apparently, Neil Gaiman has posted a video of his acceptance speech, that you can go to, you can go see on his site. But, obviously there's, some copyright bot tweaking which needs to occur from Ustream to avoid other such malfunctions. If you'd like to read more about it, check it out, the link in the show notes at cnn.com. That's all we got in the buzz. Back to you, Tom.
Thank you, Marie. And now let's go ahead and take a look at segue over to some of the business that we have here with Fess, what do we have up in the business report?
Well, first off, our first article comes from paidcontent.org, a resource that has been being utilized a little bit more frequently here on the Webcomic Beacon Newscast. The first article is, authors are caught sock puppeting, sorry, but asking whether or not it is actually bad, particularly this is looking at like for the book business or ebook business as well. Sock puppeting is kind of like trolling a little bit, where essentially you got one creator that goes and makes an account and will either promote his own stuff pretending to be a fan or be like an enemy of some competitor and tear down their stuff. The guy who does Dilbert got called out and exposed for doing this at one point, I believe. Basically trying to defend the oh so wonderful tidbits of delight that comes out of his racist, sexist mouth. But we're not talking about that right now. This is an article that basically kind of talks about what sock puppeting is. Says that there's tactics that some of these people will do, particularly if they have a book for sale on, like, say, Amazon, and try to get the numbers up. They'll buy their own books from other accounts to get the numbers up. And so it's kind of asking whether or not if it's all bad, if it's really negative for stuff. And it says that there are probably things that are a lot more negative, as in detrimental, as in like once you're called out on this sort of behavior, are your fans going to really, hold you to some sort of like moral or ethics? Yeah, some hold you up to ethics, whether or not you shouldn't have done that, and then like lose respect for them more, or doesn't that matter as much as say if they tear other people down so much or go around and harass people is another thing. So you can check out more on that at paidcontent.org. Our next story comes from GigaOM, and it's basically drawing up a comparison between Apple and Amazon as far as looking at tablets and then the services that are on those devices. And the quick comparison is easy, that Apple is a lot more about, I guess, the hardware, and Amazon's Kindle Fire is more about the services, it seems. All of it really points out that the Google, the Android market really doesn't have it all together anyway, so it doesn't really matter as much. Really, Amazon and Apple are the only ones that seem to be really getting it together. Really, and Amazon, a lot of times, it's pushing that it's service and with their tying all their Amazon services already right integrating it into their account, especially with their Amazon Prime. If you have a Kindle, a Kindle system, it's you get access to books and stuff like that, but only if you get the Kindle sort of thing. Otherwise, there's also Amazon Prime where you pay what are like $80 a year, and then you get access to videos and such you can watch right on your Kindle. So it's all about the integration and sales and, you know, things looking forward at the in the tablet market. Last story from business comes from Comics Alliance, who's actually referring back to Blogspot. Post for, I don't know, some comic called Cerebus, and some guy named, I don't know, Dave Sim apparently is leaving comics. I don't know who this guy is, but apparently he's something. Maybe a little bit back from the day, but it's clear that the day is no longer with him, and he's going to be getting out. He's done, worked on comics, Glamour Puss, Cerebus, Zootanopus or something, and Bunny. I've never heard of anything. There's one comic here called Elephant Men, which I've seen thumbing through some long boxes at a local comic book store, but I am unfamiliar with all this. I can only speculate that it might be just haven't been keeping up with the times, that his stuff just isn't that popular anymore. I certainly didn't know about him at all. But, you know, that's essentially the reason he's just not able to sustain a living and doing the comics as he once had. And, you know, these things happen. So I'm sure there are some fans out there still that might be sad to see this go. But, you know, it's one of those adapt or die sort of situations. And sometimes things just aren't popular anymore. So, and that is all I have for business. I did a lot better this week than last, I think.
Well, for those of us who remember Dave Sim back in the day, well, some of us do remember Dave Sim and how great Cerebus was back during the 80s and the Black and White Explosion as one of the great parody comics of all time. Next up, we're going to have Marie with some of the news in the education division. What's up first in the education?
Well, we've got a report from GigaOhm.com about what newspapers and other media could learn from the acquisition of Reddit. I always call it Reddit. I don't know why, but I think it's because I had an old program called that at one point, but it's Reddit. It has been acquired, as others may know, by a large media conglomerate. And what they could learn about it is that you don't want to mess with what works. Communities are fragile, and if you don't mess with them, they tend to keep plugging along. So even though it has been acquired by a large conglomerate, they didn't really do anything to change it, which was awesome because that meant that it didn't really change and it's continued to actually grow and flourish. So it's a pretty lengthy article over at GigaOhm. If you're more interested in learning what other newspaper and larger conglomerates could do to maintain their communities when they buy a community-based website, it's pretty much summarized as do nothing, but you can read more about the details there. Our second article, it comes to us from the comicbookresources.com and the MarySue.com, talking about franchise fiction and women. Talking about how, of course, we know women read comics and are engaged in social media and are a driving force behind fandom. There are many different fandoms that have erupted in, obviously, the last decade. Harry Potter, Twilight, The Hunger Games, which has a large female support. It is basically talking about the role of females in fandom and how they might engage differently than men. Or may at least engage more intensely than men in the fandoms that they do get behind. If you are interested in reading more about how women engage with fandom, check out the links in the show notes below. Our last article comes to us from Sequential Tart and is a very lengthy and, because I am Canadian, patriotic, look at comics and Canadians and what our contributions have been to the comic world. And actually, it's a lot. If you read through the article, which is pretty darn lengthy, it makes me very proud to be Canadian. Not only looking at the past, and such as Joe Shuster's, contribution for Superman, but also, you know, looking at more modern contributions in the webcomic industry from some of our newer rising stars. And it is a very, very positive article looking at the very bright future of comics in Canada, but also calling on the Canadian Council for the Arts and the Canada Book Fund to bestow more grants and money to the people who are creating these wonderful books. So if you'd like to read through it, and I suggest that you do to learn more about how Canada is supporting comics, check out the link in the show notes below. And that's all in the education section. Back to you, Tom.
Just remember, Canada also gave us William Shatner.
Awesome. He's awesome
and
now.
Brian Adams.
He's really awesome.
But let's go ahead and take a look at what's happening over in our division of tech. We're going to go ahead and start off with over from a number of sources, but we're going to go with Kickstarter.com's blog, and that is about some of the Kickstarter accountability rules. That's right. It started off with a segment over on All Things Considered on NPR, where someone had asked, when a Kickstarter campaign fails, does anyone get their money back? Which shows just how on top of things NPR is. And it does give a list of some of the questions that potential Kickstarter donors may have, like do they get their money back? What happens if a project isn't completed? Does Kickstarter screen projects? Things like this. If you are starting up a Kickstarter project or you are interested in donating to a Kickstarter project, go ahead and take a look at some of the stuff. It may answer some of the questions that you have, especially with Kickstarter being as popular for starting projects as it is. Next up, a little more serious, there is a very serious exploit over in Java. That's right, for all the people who are using Java, apparently there's a zero-day exploit, which affects all up-to-date versions of Java, no matter on the operating system that you're using, whether it be Windows, Mac, Linux, whatever. If you're using Java, this exploit has gone through can basically take over your system. It allows attackers to use a custom web page to force systems to download and run an arbitrary payload, for example, a keylogger, malware, or something else like that. And they're suggesting that you actually shut down your Java functionality in your browsers until this gets resolved. Finally, actually some positive news about 4chan. That's right, 4chan, home of all sorts of, if you know 4chan, you know 4chan. But they're actually getting serious about some of the software that they're using. For the longest time, they used a heavily modified version of the Futalabi image board system, which has suffered a lot of problems. And they're going through and they're revamping everything, including making a new API and functionality for people who are using it. This story comes us from over from boingboing.net, so make sure to check your show notes and see a little bit more about that. And now, let's go ahead and go back to Marie. Marie, you've got a few tidbits for us. What do you got?
I've got four tidbits for you today. The first one is a very interesting look over at webcomicoverlook.com at the new changes to Google. Now, if you're not familiar with this, Google has been recently updating itself, its actual CEO and search software to the new named Penguin version. This is supposed to help to curb the increasing amount of gaming going on for publishers that would basically just write pages of, you know, keywords and basically spend a whole lot of money on getting their pages to come up for certain search terms by using rather nefarious means. What they hoped to do with Penguin was to actually force content makers to focus on their content and on getting their content known and appreciated more so than focusing on pages and pages of keywords. Now, obviously, for those of us who've searched Google and have looked at and gotten, you know, garbage searches and, you know, the first, you know, page and a half are nothing but, you know, crappy, you know, sites that are either that are poorly designed, impossible to navigate, and possibly full of spyware. You know, we definitely want to see more quality search results. What they've done in this particular article is they've actually gone and tried it out and for webcomics in specific. And they have listed the top top 10 results for webcomics as a keyword of what comes up. Now, some of the sites that do come up actually are relevant to webcomics. Things like the webcomics list, a webcomics entry on Wikipedia, a top webcomics site, webcomics.com. I mean, they are all relevant to webcomics, but they may not be what the searcher is looking for. And admittedly, some of these sites are pretty old and could really use a facelift. It does actually start listing webcomics about five in. And of course, the first one that pops up, XKCD. And there are some things that pop up that are a little less relevant, like Mashable. It's just random. Sure, they might have some webcomic related articles, but they're not really a webcomic site. Reddit comes up. Reddit comes up for their webcomics subreddit. Which is pretty useful. And then, of course, we actually see some more comics, and they would be the big ones. Penny Arcade, VG Cats, and Control Delete, all video game comics, all dailies. May not be what they're looking for, but of course, all the big ones are going to pop up first. But at least most of them are somewhat webcomics relatable. If you want to go check out the actual article, they're rated, and there's more information on exactly how this update to Google is sort of affecting site rank and all that jazz. Moving on to our next tidbit, dinosaur-inspired fortune cookies. Dinosaur Comics is found on cookie on quants.com over at Dinosaur Comics. Apparently, there was a comic where the dinosaur, I don't read this comic really much, but the T-Rex basically talks about making fortune cookies that are kind of like conspiracy fortune cookies. And they decided this was a great idea, so they actually made them. They are now available for purchase. On cookiemisfortune.com.
Oh, no.
Yes. They're watching you. Our third article in the tidbits. Homestuck, MS Paint Adventures Homestuck, has been running a Kickstarter, and they have raised a ton of money. They are actually trying to create a Homestuck adventure game, where it's actually engaging developers and actually creating an actual playable game. And they had a pretty ambitious goal of $700,000, and they have exceeded that goal now and are closing in on the $1 million mark. And they still have 24 days to go. If you don't know anything about the MS Paint Adventures and the Homestuck fandom, it is pretty darn huge and has a very active and engaged fandom. If you want to check out the Kickstarter, it is, of course, on Kickstarter.com, and there is a link on the show notes. Our last article in tidbits, Husbands, which is a web series, is being turned into a comic. So it will be done by Dark Horse, and it will be illustrated by Ron Chan. There's some artwork samples up on robot6comicbookresources.com, where the story came from. And you can go check out the link in the show notes if you'd like to know more about this comic and see some of the rather nice artwork that is being posted about it. So that's all we got in the tidbits. Back to you, Tom.
Thank you, Marie. And now let's go ahead and go back over to Fess. Fess, you've got our oddity section today, and you've only got a couple of things, but they're definitely some interesting items. What do we got?
Yes, there are a few oddities. Well, I wouldn't really call them odd, but they're in that list anyway, so I'm supposed to read them. Anyway, so our first article underneath oddities comes from paidcontent.org once again. And this is an article that's about fighting the Department of Justice's Apple ebook settlement in comic strip form. Apparently, as part of an attorney's proposal for this particular suit, they're supposed to submit a brief. And with that, you know, basically saying who, where, and what, and why, and blah, 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 blah. Well, part of this actual legal document is a 5-page comic spelling out in pictures what exactly how things should be and their reasonings for therefore. I think it's awesome. I think it's great. I think Tom might disagree with me that, oh, a lawyer shouldn't be doing this sort of thing. It's like, hey, well, sometimes visual pictures can certainly help a situation.
Well, I mean, We'll talk about this in the discussion portion of the program, which is coming up very soon, folks.
Well, I got one more oddity before we roll on over to the discussion period. And this one is, well, have you ever looked at edgy comics? And I mean like real edgy comics, the one that just totally have just seemingly unnecessarily unrealistic stuff just for the point of being edgy. Well, there's a bingo game entirely devoted to this sort of thing coming from Kathy Leamy. This is posted on Robot 6. And there's a full bingo board complete with, if you can get at least 5 in a row in your edgy comic, you win or lose. I'm not sure. Things that are part of the board include swearing Tourette's, whatever fetish was on Boing Boing last month, bitches, knife murder, Hitler, explode murder. You know, edgy stuff. You can go ahead and check out the full board at Robot 6. And I think that's it about for the oddities this week.
And, oh boy, thank you for self-editing yourself there, Fez. I could hear what was coming out. But let's go ahead and we're going to take our second break. We'll be back with our discussion portion of the program right after this.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter for news links as we find them at WebcomicZ. Email us at webcomicbeaconnews@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922. Love the show? Please grab the iTunes or RSS feed. We're also on Stitcher.com with Stitcher Smart Radio, an on-demand service where you can stitch podcast and radio show feeds together for your own personal streaming service. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic books, news, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
Welcome back to the Webcomic Beacon Newscast. It's that time you've been waiting for. Yes, it is time for strip poker. I mean, time for the discussion period. Believe me, with this crew, you don't want strip poker.
I don't know. Maria, I'm pretty sure, is a nice lady.
I'd be uncomfortable with that.
Now, we're all talking about you, Fess. So, and along with Fess, of course, who comes to us from our parent show, the Webcomic Beacon itself, we also have Marie Terry from EvilSpaceCat.com, and that leaves me, the person that nobody wants to see, Thomas Revor from 910 Comics. It's 910CMX.com. We're going to go ahead and start off with our top story for discussion, and that was about Blind Ferret and some of the other sites being down. This really isn't so much a discussion period because this is something that happens to, if you're on the web, you're going to be hit by something like this eventually, whether it be malware or, like I said, we recently had a network outage due to line being down over with 910, which knocked out our comics, to what seems to be a regular occurrence over at Drunk Duck with them being down, and Keen Spot, I mean. And it doesn't matter whether it's webcomics or not. If you have anything on the internet, you're going to be having some outage, whether it be incidental or intentional, like this malware virus that seemed to have been directed towards Blind Ferret.
Well, it's one of those things. It's like you have a big enough website, especially, you're going to become a target, and you got to be on top of that. It's whether it's
taking chances.
Yeah. Well, it's also too, like, especially if you do have like a comic press WordPress site, those have been multiply attacked or hacked, especially if you leave the admin function, like you leave your name as admin and you don't have a very strong password. I've known multiple people who've been hacked that way using WordPress or using third party plugins and not vetting them, or even having a shared host. And somebody on that shared host gets a virus and it spreads and propagates and wipes out other sites. I know I've heard other comic artists who have shared hosting, who buy hosting somewhere, and they have had issue with their stuff being wiped out. This really is a lesson in backup everything. Really.
Not just backup everything, but I mean, in security as well. I mean, because first thing, I'm going to just go down some of the things that are necessary for you to try to avoid some of the stuff. The first is, of course, password is not a good password. I don't care if you put @ and $ in there. Password is stupid. There are a number of random password generators on the net, or which you can download for your system, whatever operating system you're using. And the more characters you use, whether it be just alphanumeric, upper and lower case, some of the special symbols, the more you have, the better. The more random it is, the better. If you have something like your birthday or your name or something that's easily guessed, to even straight dictionary words, the more random, the more characters, the more items you have in there, the better. Next is, of course, update, 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 update. A lot of the people that have been hit by WordPress or by Drupal or by whatever vulnerabilities are out there probably haven't updated their systems in a long while. I know that there are a lot of people who say, well, don't get the latest thing. That's the most dangerous thing you can do. No. Keep yourself up to date.
Well, actually, not necessarily. I mean, if we're talking about, like, especially if you have a really old Comic Press plugin or theme for your site, yeah, it could break your site, true. But there should be documentation of what you're supposed to update on your site in order to make sure it goes through fine for all the little tweaks. Also, just an extra note, if you are still using Comic Press, maybe you should look into using Comic Easel, also by Frumpf, which we've had on the show before, which he recommends over using Comic Press. Just a little extra bump for him over there.
Or CM Express, which we use over at 910, which is we're doing some updates on it as we speak, and is probably what, in my opinion, is one of the best comic management systems that is out there, free or paid.
Not that you're biased in any way.
No, I mean, this is completely unbiased, and I'm serious about that. I've tested Comic Press. I've tested so many other content management systems for webcomics, and yeah, there's some work that needs to be done on CM Express to bring it up, but it's still... it's got a great back end on there. It's got a great interface for the manager of the system, and it is my preference on it. But the third thing that we're going to say is backups. Absolutely. If you have a backup system, even if you have to download everything yourself, do it. Whether it be daily backups, or which are update backups, whatever you change, to full backups, which is everything on the site. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's... yeah, that's the best way of making sure if anything happens. And if you have to transfer, if you're moving to a new server, I mean, backup.
Yeah, and, I mean, the Webcast Beacon Network is going through a move right now. And what I had basically done, I downloaded essentially all of like the essential documentation from the server itself for any like changes I did to the WordPress theme. And other sorts of like the all the different little pieces in there. I already had copies of all the MP3s and the image files on my computer already. I downloaded the export file from WordPress, which takes care of all like the posts, like all the text information, posts and pages. But also there's plugins you can download that do database backups. You download the whole MySQL database and then you just re-upload it to the new database, which is what I did. Now on a side note, we are having some issues right now because of the malware hack. There's been some restrictions put in place on our new server, and hopefully it will be cleaned up by the time anyone hears this particular episode. And hopefully I'll have done an official announcement of where we are at that point. But yeah, it's kind of been it's been felt around the internet, so particularly on a lot of webcomic sites.
Exactly. And the last thing I'm going to say, coming from, and this is an expert opinion, folks, is I won't say that you get what you pay for is always accurate, but you get what you know. If you are not a network administrator, if you are not a Unix guru or whatever, find people who do know this stuff to help out with it if you can. If you're spending $5 for a shared server over at Joe Schmo's web hosting, you're going to be a lot more vulnerable than if you have an expert system who has got their own servers and their own firewall and their own equipment, which they watch over 24/7. the care that you put into it and sometimes the money that you put into it does make a big difference. But there are plenty of other pieces of advice that we can give to you, but we're going to let you discover some of those on your own. If you want to, you can always contact us here at the Webcomic Beacon Newscast, and some of our people, whether they're on the show right now or not, will probably be more than glad to give you advice as to what they would recommend for some of this stuff. But what we've given you here is some good basic guidelines for trying to avoid some of this stuff. And that includes doing the same stuff for your personal computer systems as well. You know, update, as much as I joke about Microsoft or about Apple or about some of the others, they come out with those updates for a reason, folks. Update your system, back up your system, and it's dirty out there. Play it safe. But let's go into our next topic. We've got a couple of topics that are actually kind of related. One about the sock puppeting and about the troll, and there's no other phrase to use for it, who was harassing female and male comic creators, both webcomic and published, over on Twitter. Marie, these were your stories, so go ahead and why don't you go ahead and give us a quick viewpoint on that?
Well, I mean, this sock puppeting is sort of a form of trolling. I have seen sock puppeting used as a like a vent, as a rant, when people are ranting about things and they don't want other people to know who is in fact doing the rant. It's like usually like blowing off steam. But there are cases where sock puppeting, and if you're not familiar with it, it's basically creating alternate accounts on a service for the purpose of pretending to be someone else, for either to bolster your own viewpoint, to basically post support for your own view, or have even pretend agreement, arguments, discussions, or to harass someone who is essentially your competition. I personally have never done this because I don't believe in it. I personally don't believe in bullying of any sort. I think that it's generally like a bad mannered, it's generally done, when it's done for things like adding book reviews and stuff, it's kind of bad form. It's not necessarily harmful to post positive reviews on your own material. But when you start using it to actually harass and hurt and otherwise, bully other people online, that's where I draw the line. That's where I feel that it's like harassment, it's bullying, and it really shouldn't be tolerated. I personally was kind of like, yay, when I read the story about Mike Miller and the others who are basically teaming up for this fellow who is incredibly vulgar. If you actually read his tweets, they are very, very vulgar and very harassing. And he'd been doing it for a long time. I mean, he'd made sexual threats towards some of the female creators over a long period of time. That kind of behavior just shouldn't be tolerated as far as I'm concerned. If people would do it in real life and they get punched in the face, you know, like this would be the reaction. And yet, because we, you know, millions of miles away and they pretend, you know, that you can't be found, they think that they can be essentially a giant douchebag and get away with it. And what I guess a lot of these people don't realize is that it's actually possible to track you down through the internet these days, especially, and find you and hold you accountable for being a giant douchebag. So right.
And let's go ahead and let me expand out on that a little bit, Murray, because the fact that he was this big SOB, that's not what they're going after him for. Although outside of the U.S., as Miller says in the interview, if this was where he was, they have laws about attitude on the internet. That's not what happened here in the States. In the States, it was because of the threats that he made. He made sexual threats against some of the female creators out there, and that is what they're going after him on. That is illegal, whether it be a joke thing or not. If you threaten somebody, as this guy has, with rape and other crimes, that is illegal.
Yeah, well, just being an ass is one thing. But what I'm talking about this guy is that he was actually harassing and threatening these people. Like he went beyond just being an ass. Like, you know, like a lot of trolls who are just, you know, who just say things that are, you know, kind of, you know, not cool, and say things that are rude and say things that, you know, might, you know, it generally marks them as an ass.
Right. But if being an ass on the internet was illegal, we'd lose 75% of the people on the internet, including Fess here. So,
but he's not just being an ass. He's being harassing. He's being threatening. He's gone past that point where it's like he's actually, you know, threatening to do things to people. I doubt he probably would. Most of these people are very cowardly when you confront them in real life, but they are, it is a possibility. He could work himself up to it. You don't know. So, you know, it is stressful, and it is having lived under bullying before. You know, for me personally, it puts you in a special kind of hell. You know, especially if that person is unrelenting. And some of these sock puppet people is like, they're talking about some of it. And this felt one of the fellows they're talking about who had a sock puppet account and was harassing another author did so for over a year, attacking not only like him personally, but his livelihood as well. So, I mean, and he eventually cried uncle and basically said, like, you know, okay, fine, you win. You do it better than I do. Please stop.
Well, and more than that, there have been a number of stories, both in recent times, about some of the people who are younger, teenagers, who are in an awkward stage of their lives anyway, who have been attacked and bullied online, eventually taking their own lives.
Because you just can't escape it. It is a horrible place to be. And like I said, having been there and having severely been there since like grade school, up until the point where I actually graduated from high school and went to university, it had a profound effect on my personality and my life. And I was strong enough to get through it without doing that. But I mean, there were days when, you know, like literally you are so alone and so hurt and so belittled and so scared and terrified. These people have no idea that they're, you know, what kind of pain they cause. And, you know, even if they do, sometimes they don't care. It's just really worse, sad.
Revel in the pain that they cause. I mean, I don't care if it's someone who's being bullied themselves and they're enjoying the fact that they can take it out on somebody else. Any of this stuff, the harassment. I mean, there's a point to where you go past being a troll like this one guy has to being criminal. And a lot of the people out there who take the glory in being a troll – I'm sorry, folks. As one of the great religions say, I mean, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How would you feel if you were on the receiving end of that? You wouldn't like it. So, I mean, it's trolling itself is a harassment for not just the people that are the targets, but the friends and family of those people, as well as the people who run the sites and have to try and hold some of this back. So, I mean, I when I first read the Mark Miller story, I was a little gassed because Miller apparently found the name and address of this person. That scared me a little bit, even though I know this happens. But then I read, it wasn't just, you know, this guy's being a jerk. No, this guy was being a criminal. And at that point, I'm all for what Miller and the other creators are doing and taking legal action against this person. They are following the right path as opposed to replicating and responding in time, in kind.
Well, I kind of look at it too. Is like if this was being happening on the phone, and they were phoning these people and saying these things to them, you could take action against it for harassment. Just because it's happening on the internet doesn't mean it's any less painful and any less intruding. So, you know, I kind of see it as the same harassment. Like people who are targeting specific people for the purpose of making their lives a living hell should be held accountable for their actions.
Exactly. And to me, sock puppeting goes along the same way. I don't care if it's the quote, beneficial one where you're creating hundreds of accounts to boost yourself up and your creation. If you can't do it honestly, folks, what good is it?
It's cheating, essentially. Yeah. It's a form of cheating and gaming. And, it, you know, like really, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really benefit you in the sense that, you know, you're cheating and they didn't really accomplish anything. I understand why people think it's necessary, but honestly, if you can't do it honestly, then just, you know, don't.
Exactly.
Cheat.
Is it really worth it in the long run?
Yeah, exactly.
But let's go ahead and go on to our next topic. Marie, this was also a story that you covered, and that's the result of Googling webcomics. And this is another form of gaming the system, of cheating.
It's one Google's trying to curb, and that's what they're trying to do with this new update Penguin of theirs, is they're trying to stop businesses and stop people from essentially gaming keywords to get better advertising sales and better, you know, results from Google when they don't really deserve it or they haven't paid for it. They're just gaming the system of SEO. And SEO is a huge business. It's absolutely enormous. There are tons of people who are making a lot of money off of SEO for these businesses. So, or it's just, I like the idea that it's going back to more content oriented, you know, the idea of actually, you know, finding good content and people who are doing the right things, essentially rewarding the good guys in a way. For making all this great content and for actually having stuff that matters and putting effort into their sites and, you know, not having, you know, basically words, pages and pages of keywords and ads and nothing else that's actually relevant to what you're searching for. But it, you know, it doesn't seem like yet that it's, you know, how it's working. I don't think there's a definitive, at least in that article, sort of show that it is in fact working, to what maybe the extent the article writer wanted. It did bring up relevant results. Like there was, I personally think they were more relevant than the author gave the credit for, because they were in fact like webcomic lists and things of actual webcomics. They did have content associated with them. Yeah, sure. They might have, you know, suffered from, you know, needing to redesign since the early 2000s, but they were still relevant sites and they were still reasonably current in the sense that they updated and such.
Yes. I mean, and going through some of these the system gaming that they've had, I mean, it's difficult to go through and Google your own name and come up with the first page of 90% of it being porn sites and only 50% of them actually being you.
Yeah.
That's a joke, folks. No, there are no
porn
sites.
Is this a problem you're having, Tom?
Yes. Well, I was actually Googling your name, Fess, but that's a...
Lies. We had a whole episode about Googling our names and that didn't pop up.
Yeah. Yes. Pay us money or we will show you naked pictures of Fess.
But obviously when you're when you're Googling webcomic just by itself, you're probably not going to get all the webcomics in the world pop up. You're going to get search specific, you know, sites that are more focused on webcomics in general. If you're wanting to find specific webcomics, you're going to have to probably look for a subject that they cover or their name. So, I mean, it isn't really helpful unless you're going to one of these, maybe the sites that actually did come up, like the webcomic list or top webcomics, where there are lists specifically of webcomics in some kind of searchable fashion, like, you know, in the sense of like either by name, by genre, or even by rank, you know, like people do need some kind of logic to sort through them.
That's a great thing on there. I mean, for webcomic creators, definitely put some short things into your page, what is your comic about? But for those of you who are doing searching for comics, definitely do a search on the genre. If you want to find sci-fi, comedy, magic, webcomic, use those terms, folks. That's what they're there for. And they'll help you narrow it down a little bit instead of just sending you everything and 102% of it not being relevant.
Yep, that's pretty much, I think, where it is. And also, too, like they are definitely incorporating more of the G+ into their thing. So things that have been upvoted and plused and liked and things like that are starting to show up more as relevant as opposed to things that are just gamed. So if you actually have people who are liking and favoriting and plusing your stuff, you're going to rank higher than your competitors who are not.
But next up for our discussion, this is one I was looking forward to, and that is our edgy comic bingo. That's right. I mean, I saw this story, and there are so many comics out there, not just web comics or print comics, but so-called humor comics, the comedians who are edgy, by doing the same thing. You know, throw up a couple of tropes, you know, use some profanity, and boom, you're edgy. The quality isn't there. And to me, this bingo game is absolutely perfect. It gives you a lot of the tropes that a lot of these lazy writers, and yes, that was for you, Jason, lazy writers go through and use to try and make their comic edgy so people will read their edgy comic. Now, I mean, I don't know what more can be said. I mean, I'm just glad this game isn't a drinking game, because there'd be a lot of people who'd be suffering from alcohol poisoning after playing it.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm guilty of at least one or two of these.
Well, I mean, if it's an occasional thing, I mean, I hate to say, I mean, even in my own comics, I had a storyline that had to deal with slavery and torture, and that is something that happens. It's always bad to consistently stay on these topics just for the sake of staying on these topics. You know, oh God, I mean, what good is the comic other than dealing towards a particular fetish that some of these people have out there? I mean, just make a snuff film and put it up and you'll still get viewers.
Oh, sadly, you know, we've had this conversation before with Eric about how the porn brings the peoples, but also how that stains, you know, and kind of pigeonholes you and you know, stuff like that. And some of these things can be used, you know, in ways that are interesting or actually useful in a story. I mean, a lot of some of this stuff, like murder and rape, happens in stories a lot. You know, as I wouldn't say there's a good necessarily reason for the rape one, but there's a lot of murder stories. I mean, look at all the shows on TV where it's like, oh, we're solving a murder. You know, yeah, a lot of detective stories are all about a murder.
Well, exactly. If they had as many murders in real life as they do on TV, New York would be depopulated in a month.
Here's the other thing. I also just want to say this. Just because it is a trope or a meme doesn't mean it's necessarily bad. It's also not an excuse for not writing a well-written, you know, having a well-written story, you know?
Exactly. That's it. It's the quality of the content that you create. You know, if you go through, I was going to make a Frank Miller joke, because you could pick up Frank Miller comic and you'd have all the boards filled within three pages. But Miller does write some good stories. He writes some crap stories too, but he writes some. He's written some very good stories that just happen to deal with these topics.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you get powerful topics, it is possible to write powerful stories as long as you're skillful about it. I mean, I don't think that I focus on any one of these particular tropes, but I have had a number of them in my stories. Probably my worst offender being the close-up on gory injury and boobs. But
let me go ahead and put my own caveat on this. I think that every webcomic out there should play this game. And if you get bingo, you need to immediately go over to the Women Refrigerators website and read that through.
Yeah. I wouldn't get a bingo. I'm looking at them, and I personally wouldn't get a bingo, but I definitely I do end up on the board a couple of times, but I think that's okay. You know, if you end up on a sort of a splattering on the board, but you don't get bingo, you're probably okay.
Well, it looks like this board has plenty of splattering already on it.
This is true. There's a fair amount of splatter on this.
But yeah, I mean, go through, and hell, I might even write a program to go through and randomize boards for people using this.
Well, you know, TV Tropes is an incredibly popular website. There's a reason why tropes are popular.
Exactly. But our last story is we had to include in because of a little discussion that Fess and I had during one of the breaks, and that is the brief in the Department of Justice versus Apple lawsuit that was going on, where the brief itself was a comic. It was a several page full length comic about it. And
only take like 55 pages and condense it down to like 5 comic pages?
Yeah.
It was a part of the 55 pages.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, no, it was. It really was. It was a large number of pages condensed down into this. It did about, what, 9 pages, I think it was?
It's 5 pages of comics out of a 55-page briefing. Or the whole file that was there was 55 pages, and the last 5 were the comic.
Wow. Now,
on one hand, me as a comic creator says, this was great. I mean, if this had been put out onto the web as an explanation of your side so that the common layperson could understand what was going on, terrific. I absolutely adore things like this. But the fact that this was put into a legal brief where there's a certain decorum, there's a certain formula that's used, whether you like it or not, whether it's boring and so convoluted in the syntax to make sure you get exactly what you need. I mean, deals with the devil aren't this complicated. I found it insulting. I mean, if you had this, if you go to a doctor and hand him a book on how to do surgery written as C-Spot Run, that couldn't have been any more insulting than this is to a lawyer.
A middle finger at the judge for asking him to condense his document?
Very possibly.
I mean, if the judge can't stand and sit and read the whole thing, too, I mean.
But it also goes through, I mean, are you helping your client by doing this? And that's what the whole thing should come down to. Does this help your client? And if you're flipping a middle finger because the judge wants you to condense it and you give him a comic. Now, again, folks, I'm not saying comics are stupid. I am saying there's a time and a place for them. I don't want to see, I'm trying to think of a good, I don't want to see somebody in seminary school being given a comic book as to how to interpret the Old Testament. No, I mean,
they've already done that. I'm sorry.
Not in seminary school. They've got things like that out there, and I've used them as myself. I think some of them are some great rewritings, but there's a time and a place for certain things. And I'm sorry, a legal brief is not one of them.
All right, you curmudgeon.
Back in my day, we didn't do this thing.
Why are you mad, bro?
Okay, next convention. Stop by to the Webcomic Beacon newscast table where you can see me batter fists with a baseball bat.
Yeah, that's right. The newscast has a panel at Intervention Con. They're the only ones I think that actually have a panel there. I don't know why, but whatever. I'm not bitter. I only submitted a few. I'm wondering why I didn't get any panels. Anyway, you can see the newscast at Intervention Con later this September. Hopefully this episode will be up by then if all the issues are sorted out and I can actually upload episodes once again. But back to you, Tom.
Well, and I think actually that we're all discussed out. If you all have any comments or ideas for things that you want to hear or discussion, or if you want to respond to some of the discussion that we've had, Fess, what's the email address that people will be able to send that stuff to?
If you want to send in news and commentary specifically for the Webcomic Beacon newscast, you can email webcomicbeaconnews@gmail.com. Otherwise, for the rest of the site, webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. Just keep watching webcomicbeacon.com and you'll see the regular show and the newscast all in the same feed.
And along with other sites that you should see, how about evilspacecat.com with Marie Terry?
Yes, check us out.
Nah.
And of course, we've already said enough about Fest, so let's go ahead and close out the show. I want to thank everyone for joining us. I'm Thomas Revor, your host from 910 Comics. That's 910cmx.com. And we'll see you in the funny papers.